On today's show, the Houston Rockets are going streaking with a pair of wins over the weekend against the San Antonio Spurs. Jalen Green scoring explosion. Kevin Porter Jr. with arguably one of his best games of the season. Why Usman Garuba deserves more minutes. His production is legitimate. He is the best three-point shooter on the Rockets team. But as cool as these wins are, did the Rockets mess up their NBA draft lottery odds with these wins? We're going to break it all down for you coming right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The Houston Rockets select Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, and Jabari Smith Jr.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
Every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
You're getting somebody who's going to come in with a chip on their shoulder, somebody who's going to come in and compete from day one.
Six, five, four, three, two, one.
What's up and welcome to another edition of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and credentialed media member. I'm also the host of Locked On NBA Mondays. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin. The show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, free and available wherever you listen to your podcasts, including YouTube. Go to YouTube, search Locked On Rockets, like, comment, subscribe. All that good stuff. The comments help out a ton on the show. So if you like the show, go comment. Seriously, it helps. Helps a ton. As always, thank you so much for making Locked On Rockets part of your day. Every single day, whether it's on the way to work, whether it's on your lunch break, whether it's in the gym, thank you for making LOR part of your day. Now, today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Houston Rockets pick up a pair of wins. It's a win streak. Streaking. How many times have we been able to talk about that this season? Not many. Rockets with a 122-110 win against the Spurs in San Antonio on Saturday night, and then a 142-110 win back in Houston Sunday night, a back-to-back, a home-and-home against the Spurs. And there were a lot of positives, actually, about the way that the Rockets played in these couple games. But what I want to lead with before getting into any of the specifics about the players and how certain guys performed. Look, Jalen Green had an offensive explosion. Kevin Porter Jr. had arguably one of his best games of the season with 19 points, 13 dimes in the second meetup. Tari Eason continues to be just a beast off the bench for this Houston Rockets team. We're going to unpack all of that and what some of these performances mean and some of the positives, as well as Usman Garuba, who deserves way more minutes than what he's actually getting. This is my new hill to die on for the rest of the season, whether or not it actually happens. But the number one issue here, as awesome as these wins were, as great as it is to talk about a win, to see the guys have some positivity in that locker room, these wins are ultimately kind of meaningless because we're here at the final 1/4 of the season. You know, had they been able to, you know, blow the doors off the Spurs in the two games earlier this season, cool. I would have been all for it, right? You know, it's another bad team. Sure, you want to go out there. And there was probably a bit of pride at play in these two games, right? This Rockets team has lost to the Spurs twice earlier this season in ugly fashion both times. So they probably went out there and they wanted to, you know, get a little bit of revenge, whatever, show that they can actually beat this team. But the Spurs rested a million different guys both nights, right? First night, they rested, you know, Vassell, Johnson, Brando. Like, they had all these guys sitting out. Second night, they rested Sohan, Zach Collins. Like, they basically split their roster in two to give themselves better chances to lose both of these games against the Houston Rockets. And when Steven Silas was asked about potentially holding out, you know, maybe Kevin Porter Jr. or Jalen Green, just, you know, preventative injury maintenance, whatever, with both of those guys, since they're both kind of fresh and back, Steven Silas was like, straight up, no. He was like, no, we didn't consider holding anybody out of either of these games. And so the Rockets were, you know, at full strength at both contests. The Spurs completely outmaneuvered the Rockets as far as tankathon is concerned, as far as the standings are concerned. And at this point in the season, you know, final 1/4 of these games, you know, I don't think these wins are going to suddenly turn this group around. I don't think suddenly they're going to, you know, reevaluate what Steven Silas is trying to teach them, or that suddenly they're going to buy back in and be playing harder on defense, and suddenly they're going to look like a better, more competent organization. No, they went out there and they beat basically what was a G League Spurs team. And they beat the Spurs like third stringers. And when you do that at full strength, and it's still kind of a competition and it's still kind of hard for you, it's a little disappointing, honestly. So while I enjoyed a lot of the moments, and I think I enjoyed a lot of the individual play from these guys, there's that nagging like thought at the back of the mind, okay, well, how's this going to hurt the Rockets and their tankathon standings moving forward? And this is a very legitimate concern, because the Spurs are creeping up on the Rockets. In fact, right now, the Spurs are a half win back, if you will, from being in a three-way tie with the Pistons and Rockets. So right now, the Pistons and Rockets are both at 15 and 49 on the year, so they're tied up for the worst overall odds. And then San Antonio's at 16 and 49. So it's pretty likely that Detroit, Houston, and San Antonio will finish as the bottom three teams, and it is fair. The bottom three teams all have the same percentage chance odds for Victor Wembanyama for top picks, right? So that's fine. Here's the issue. The issue comes in when you look at the floor scenario, when you look at the worst case scenario for the Rockets. And as it currently stands, the Rockets, if the lottery were to happen today, there would be a coin flip between the Rockets and the Pistons to see who would actually finish as the worst team, or with the number one lottery odds. And the difference between the number one lottery odds and the number two lottery odds mean that the Rockets pick could fall all the way down to number six instead of only down to number five. This Rockets team has been the worst team in the NBA through three quarters of the season, picking up meaningless wins here at the end of the season against other bad teams. Now, if they could go out there and beat, you know, a playoff team, if they could go out there and go beat, you know, the Suns or the Mavs or, you know, whoever, you know, anybody out east, whatever. If they could go out and beat a team like that and get a motivational win that way, beat a team that's actually still vying and jockeying for like playoff positioning, cool. But it seems like a very fake celebration to go out there and beat a San Antonio Spurs team that is very clearly intentionally resting guys and has zero desire to win these games in back-to-back nights and potentially ruin your lottery standing. Again, same percentage chance for Victor at the top of the draft, which...
Pray for Victor!
Pray for Victor, as always. But you do lower your floor, right? So in the worst-case scenario, look, if the Rockets walk away with the 6th overall pick or the 7th overall pick or, God forbid, the 8th overall pick in this year's draft because of a couple of meaningless wins against the San Antonio Spurs here in the final stretch of the season, I am going to go full scorched earth against the organization, because there's zero reason for it. There is zero reason to have gone out there and not sat a couple guys, rested a couple guys, especially when you've got Kevin Porter Jr., who's very clearly still working through that toe injury, and it's aggravating him. He's playing through some pain. He had a fantastic game despite playing through the pain, but it's very clearly still bothering him. You had a perfect built-in excuse to do it. So right now, the Spurs organization are outmaneuvering the Houston Rockets as far as just the rebuild and how their tankathon odds are going to look and all of that. And so that's where the concern is, right? Yes, they still have the same shot at Wimby, but the floor is now in danger of falling out from the Rockets, where for a while there, it looked like the floor was going to be number five, no matter what. 5th overall pick, okay. That's still a good trade asset. That's still possibly a good, you might still get a really good prospect at number five, at number six or number seven or down at number eight. Things start to shift dramatically as far as what you may or may not be able to accomplish with that pick in the grand scheme of things. And so I don't want to hear anything from the Rockets fans who are championing these wins and who are calling people weirdos and you know, getting upset with the people who are trying to look at the big picture ramifications of these wins. Anybody who's, you know, happy about these wins right now, keep that same energy if the Rockets pick falls all the way down to 7 or 8 later on in the draft. Coming up, I do want to talk about the actual performances from these guys. Now that I kind of got that bit off my chest, I do want to focus in on Jalen Green's explosive scoring performance. Kevin Porter Jr. making a big impact in at least game number 2 and looking pretty solid since coming back from injury. Why Usman Garuba deserves more minutes, all of that and more coming up right here. But first, a quick message from our friends over at PrizePicks. Next game, how about Jalen Green to have more than 26.5 points? What about Tari Eason to have more than 7.5 rebounds? How about Alperen Şengün to have less than 6.5 assists? Or what about Jabari Smith Jr. to have less than 3.5 three-pointers made? So what is Prize Picks? It's daily fantasy sports, but how does it work? Basically, you pick 2 to 6 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times back on your money on any entry that you submit. There's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch. That's NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, PGA. They've got you covered for everything. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that simple. They're safe. They offer fast withdrawals, currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. So download the PrizePick app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, PrizePicks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, PrizePicks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Let's talk a little bit about the actual basketball played in these couple games against the San Antonio Spurs. Now, that first game was just the takeover by the Rockets bench unit, and namely Tari Eason, who was incredible off the Rockets bench. And I want to get to that in just a second. Let me start with Jalen Green here, because Jalen Green had his scoring explosion in game two against the Spurs. He was all right in the first meetup between these two teams, but in game two, Jalen Green had 31 points on 11 of 19 shooting, was 4 of 8 from beyond the arc, 5 of 6 at the free throw line. He had a couple rebounds, had a couple of assists, had a couple turnovers. But overall, a really, really strong night from Jalen Green, where he was on fire early in the game. He was on fire again in the third quarter. And this was one of those super-duper all-around games from Jalen Green, where he was getting it done in the paint, he was getting it done in the mid-range, he was getting it done from long distance, he was getting to the free throw line. This was an all-around scoring show from Jalen Green. And this is why when you see him able to put together all the pieces, right? The three ball is going. He's able to get to the mid-range. He's able to get all the way to the rack. He's able to get to the free throw line a little bit, scoring at all three levels, including the free throw. Like, when you put all of that together and Jalen's having a good night from all those areas on the floor, he basically looks unstoppable, right? And he did. He looked unstoppable in this game against the Spurs, because at no point was he struggling to finish at the rim, or at no point was he, you know, just airmailing threes from beyond the perimeter. And that's when you start to get those glimpses of, okay, this is how this guy is going to be like a tier one scorer further down the line. And there were a couple moments, one that really stood out to me specifically in this game that I wish we would see a bit more from Jalen. And we do see him get to that mid-range jumper quite a bit, but there's times when he gets to it and he's doing it because he's like snaking the pick and roll, and he gets to the top of the key, or, you know, free throw line extended, whatever, and he elevates and he's kind of like off balance, or like he's leaning right, leaning left, whatever. Though some of those jumpers feel kind of rushed, right? The defender's trying to get back in the picture, all that. He had a drive in this game where he drove the ball in strong, going, you know, from the right side wing, drove in kind of like a straight line drive, and just like shouldered the defender off of him and took a bit of a like step back sort of, and then just elevated from that right wing, kind of like the baseline area almost. And I feel like we saw him do that a lot in the G League, where he would, you know, start that drive and then get to that kind of step back, but in the mid range. And what it does is it really, you know, shouldering that defender off of him really allows him all that breathing room, right? That, you know, the defender's not coming back into the picture. You know, you're not leaning left or right after snaking a pick and roll. It's just, okay, defender's gone. Cool. Maybe, you know, bit of a shoulder, bit of a push off, but, you know, within, you know, not going to get called at least at that point. And then you're able to just kind of elevate and go straight up into your shot, right? There's no leaning, there's no wiggle, there's no left, right, whatever. And I really wish we could see Jalen Green do that a bit more, just in isolation, attack from the perimeter, and then boom, gets in that mid-range shot. He should be able to do that at will every single game. So I really like that move from him. And then there were a couple, like, crafty finishes around the rim. I don't know what the issue is, though, with Jalen, where he really just hates finishing with his left. Like, he refuses to finish with his left hand. He does this little, like, curvy, dipsy doodle, like, I'm going to twist my body and try and corkscrew up, like the John Barry special, whatever, with the right hand under the basket on the wrong side. And it feels like those shots rarely, if ever, drop for him. And then the weird thing is then he'll do the same thing on the other side. Like, he had one layup that he finished where he went up on the right side with a left hand. I don't know why. Like, just finish with the left on the left-hand side. He had a point where he broke down the defense and had a wide open lane to the basket, had the layup right there, had the left-handed easy bucket layup right there, and tried to go up and dunk it instead and wound up getting hung on the rim and fouled. And so then he had to go to the free throw line instead. So sometimes with this Rockets team, right, they're going for the home run play, the highlight reel play. They do that a lot in transition, right, where they might have a really good transition opportunity, but they're so focused on, like, trying to, like, set up the highlight lob play, whatever, and they're not actually focused on running, like, a good, like, a fundamentally sound transition break. And that's one of the issues with this team, right? It's just a lack of discipline, a lack of fundamentals at times where they hoop like an AAU squad, right? They're just going out there. It's about the vibes. It's about the highlights. It's about, you know, dunking on guys. And, you know, sometimes you just want to see them play good basketball. Sometimes you just want to see it. God, I sound like such a boomer when I say it that way. But legitimately, sometimes you just want to, like, there were moments in this game, right, where there was a moment where, like, Josh Christopher had, was open on the break, but the Rockets were trying to, like, get a lob to happen, and it ruined the fast break instead. So sometimes you just want the right, good, high quality basket rather than, you don't need a highlight. You don't need a crazy lob dunk, whatever. Where's my lob threat key?
Lob threat.
There we go. I don't want to digress too far into that argument. But I do want to also focus on Kevin Porter Jr. here, who KPJ had what I thought was actually an excellent game against the Spurs. Easily one of the best quarters of basketball that I've ever seen him play early in the game, was getting guys involved, was being incredibly unselfish with the basketball. This type of Kevin Porter Jr., when he has these types of games, I look at him in a very different light. 19 points, 13 assists, 4 rebounds, 7 of 11 shooting. And that, again, this isn't to say that Kevin Porter Jr. has to go out there and get, 20 and 10 plus for me to feel good about him as a player. Absolutely not. There are a number of games this season where he's done a good job, made the right reads, involved teammates, and kind of taken a backseat offensively to orchestrate the offense. And he's had games that are similar to this one where this, guys just weren't hitting shots, and maybe he finishes with 5 or 6 assists instead of 13. But that's also why I look at his potential assist numbers quite a bit, because it does matter to me, like, how many shots is Kevin actually creating for his teammates, right? In his first game back against the Grizzlies, he had 10 potential assists. He only finished with 2 actual dimes, but he had 10 potential assists because he was actually creating looks for his teammates, getting guys involved, being unselfish with the basketball, making quick, smart decisions, smart reads. Some really high-level passing was on display from Kevin in this game. Like, you saw all those glimpses of, man, like, if he could just play like this a little bit more consistently, I'd actually feel pretty good about him running, that second guard spot next to Jalen Green. He's still, in my eyes, he's still not a true point guard, but if you're able to facilitate like this and break down the defense and get to that drive and kick game and really get other guys involved, then it doesn't matter if you're a true point guard or not. It doesn't matter. If you've got that level of feel for the game, then you can continue being a productive member of the team, and you can continue, steering the ship and, having the reins. But we just, I feel like this season it's been so up and down with him, where you get some of these games that feel really, really good, and then you get some of the games where you get the ISO hezzy tween god, where there's way too much focus on him trying to take over the game and him trying to score the basketball and not necessarily enough on getting his teammates involved. And that's where it's a constant battle, right, internally for Kevin, right? How to, be the head honcho and get his team involved and incorporate everybody else versus going after his own buckets. And this game, I thought, was the perfect blend of him involving himself offensively, getting his own shots, breaking down the defense, and also facilitating at a very, very high level for all of his teammates. So credit to Kevin, who I thought, again, had a fantastic game in this one. Coming up, I want to share final thoughts from this game, why Usman Garuba deserves to play more minutes for this Houston Rockets team, how the Rockets used pace in this game, how they've been getting out into the fast break quite a bit more often over these recent games since Kevin Porter Jr. is back in the lineup. Plus, we got to hit a tankathon spin. We'll get there in just one moment. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. If you're looking for a delicious treat, but you don't want all the fat and calories that usually comes along with it, then you've got to try Built Bar, because with Built Bar, healthy is actually tasty. They're so delicious, you won't even think that they're good for you. What makes Built Bar so incredible? Well, for starters, they're covered in 100% chocolate. You know, they're basically candy bars that are jam-packed with protein. They come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, coconut almonds, strawberry, raspberry, salted caramel, cookies and cream. My personal favorite, the coconut brownie chunk. You really can't go wrong with a single flavor on their menu. Every single bar, only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. And look, now you don't even need to wait around to get a box. For years, we've been talking about ordering Built Bars at Built.com, and I'll tell you how to do that in just a second. But now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. Just walk right in to Walmart or Sam's Club, go grab a box right off the shelf. No waiting, no need for shipping, all that. But if online ordering is more your speed, go to Built.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off your very next order of the best tasting protein bars on the market. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off at Built.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Now, final thoughts here from the Rockets little weekend sweep of the San Antonio Spurs. Credit to Lovey Silas, the man himself. Look, I called it going into these games. I was so worried that Steven Silas was going to Lovey Smith these two Spurs games for the Rockets. Now, obviously, there's guys above Steven Silas that could have pulled certain strings, right? The front office for Felstone could have easily orchestrated, hey, we want you to sit Jalen, we want you to sit Kevin, whatever. They could have outmaneuvered the Spurs had they so desired to try and take, you know, to try and lose one of these two games. And again, it very much felt like the Rockets had a chance organically, if you will, to lose that first game in San Antonio because they only won by 12. And there were plenty of moments where the Spurs felt like they were in that game and taking control of that game and, you know, might actually win it despite benching a bunch of their starters, which would have been pretty embarrassing, all things considered, because the Rockets are actively trying to win these games versus the Spurs, who clearly are not. But, I felt better about the second win because it looked a little bit more divisive or just, you know, hey, we're not messing around. We're gonna crush the Spurs team because they're not taking this game seriously. That's how it should look if you're running out a fully healthy lineup. But Steven Silas, you know, was not going to bench anybody, refused to, you know, went out there, and he was coaching to win these games, right? And that's the other concern is, like, his whole idea of coaching to win means playing Boban in first quarter minutes. And that's what we saw in the first meetup against the Spurs. His version of coaching to win is very, very concerning at this point for what you see when you've got a guy who is very actively making decisions based on trying to win these games in the here and now and sacrificing development in order to do so. Namely, in this most recent game, right, we didn't get any Ty Washington minutes until, like, late in the game. Basically garbage time Ty Washington minutes is what we got in the second game against the Spurs. He opted for the backup Jayshon Tate point guard role and then kind of just staggering Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr., basically running a 9-man rotation with the guys that he thought were most capable of winning this game for him. So that's where we're at with Silas. This was the Lovey Smith special. Texans fans should be familiar with how that happened at the end of last season. So with that, one of the other positives, though, positive developments over these most recent handful of games for the Rockets, they're actually getting out in transition quite a bit more. They had 30 transition points against the Spurs Saturday night. They had 34 in their win on Sunday night. And this has been something we've been clamoring for all season long with this Rockets team, is to get out and run, get out and transition, use those young legs, use your athleticism, right? Get out, get a good defensive stop and book it and just run. And thankfully, the Rockets have done that quite a bit and they've been pretty good at it. And credit to, I want to give, some more flowers to Kevin Porter Jr., right? He's really, he has this, like, methodical play style at times where he does like to slow things down and get into the half court and, you know, whatever. But he's been a lot better about getting the ball and really just gunning it in transition. So maybe that's something that he's focused on a bit, you know, in his time out and seen, you know, okay, hey, if we push the ball in transition, there's some opportunities there that we're missing out on. But the Rockets have really done a good job actually getting out on the break and getting some really easy opportunities by doing that, right? They've got these high-flying athletes, guys like KJ Martin, Josh Christopher, when those guys get going downhill, Jalen Green, KPJ, when they're out in transition and they've got a full head of steam, like these guys can make stuff happen in transition. If they had been playing with this level of like urgency and pace that they did in these two Spurs games, like all season long, we might actually be talking about a Rockets team with like 20 something wins instead of floating down here at 15, just because they're leaving a lot of points, you know, leaving a lot of points off the board by not playing to their strengths, which is, hey, there's not many strengths that this team has. They can't shoot. They can't defend oftentimes. They're a great offensive rebounding team. They've got a lot of hustle and effort, but transition would be one of the strengths that this team could have if they would actually just get out and run, and they've been doing that over these past couple games, so credit to them. Usman Garuba, man. Sensation. Just the way that he plays. First off, the fact that he was playing as the third string center behind Boban Marjanovic in the first of these two Spurs games was just an utter travesty. Still finished the night with less minutes than Boban. Boban with 11 minutes, Usman with 9 minutes in the first meetup against the Spurs. Garuba had 11 points, 3 boards, 1 assist, and was 3 of 3 from the floor, including all 3 made 3-pointers from downtown in the first meetup against the Spurs. And then in the second meetup against the Spurs, he had 5 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and another made 3-pointer. Garuba's shot is legit at this point. Like, there is zero reason why the Rockets shouldn't believe in Garuba as a 3-point shooter. You know, there was, when early this season when he couldn't miss, there was a lot of like, okay, small sample. It's still a small sample size. He needs to be given the opportunity to shoot those shots. And I think, you know, good friend of the program and you know, one of the hosts over at Rockets Watch, Roosh Williams, he's been banging this drum for a while now. It was something that we thought we were going to see earlier this season. It was an idea that, you know, I even, you know, suggested to Steven Silas to ask, like, hey, like, you know, we asked it with Garuba's, you know, increased three-point shooting, is there a possibility we might see him be played next to Alperen Şengün? This was like back in November or December of this season. And he said, yeah, it's a possibility. We might mess around with some lineups and try it out. Still haven't seen it. We have not seen for not 1 second, not 1 minute of NBA action, Garuba and Alpi sharing the floor this season. We've seen Boban Marjanovic and Alperen Şengün share the floor, but we have not seen Alpi and Us. And that doesn't make any sense because you'd think Us, with all of his defensive versatility, with his length, with his size, with his ability to switch, would be the ideal four to play next to Alpi to try and make up some of his defensive deficiencies. And then offensively, he's your best shooter. Like, he's a better shooter. Jabari can't shoot at all right now. He's a better shooter than Tari at the four spot. Like, just try it, right? Just try it. And so this is the hill that I'm going to try and die on, and I'm probably going to die on this hill over the rest of the season, is just give us like a 10-game sample size of what it would look like having Us play next to Alpi in the lineup, right? Give us, you know, 5 minutes a night, you know, do it in the first half, do it in the second half, don't care. Find a spot to give Usman some run next to Alpi and see what that looks like, right? Maybe there's something there. Maybe you can unlock something. Maybe there's a future there between those two guys where Usman is not exclusively an undersized five at the NBA level, and he can be more of a four, right? You can get creative with it. Put Us in the corner and let Alpi be the, you know, the screener and get to the pick and roll action that you love to do with Alpi and Jalen and Kevin, whatever. Cool, you can do that. You can make Garuba the screener and put Alpi in the dunker spot and have Garuba be able to hit him out of the short roll if the defender floats over. Like, there's a lot of different things that you could unlock with Garuba's shooting and with the passing that he has out of the short roll. And then you couple that with everything he provides you defensively. I just don't know why we're not seeing it, right? It did take an entire season for Steven Silas to start playing Tari Eason and Jabari Smith Jr. at the same time, because for much of the season, he basically looked at both of those guys as exclusively power forwards, with the occasional few minutes for Jabari as a small ball five, but that was it, right? So now we've started to see those guys play the three and the four together in tandem with Alpi out there at the five. So we're starting to see a little bit more diversity with the lineups, but the fact that it took all season for us to get here is just super frustrating because Tari has shown the ability to be a good shooter, right? Tari has had a consistent outside shot, which was the biggest knock on him coming into the league was, is he going to be a good shooter? And everything else has translated. Tari has been fantastic. In this other game, in the Sunday night meeting against the Spurs, he had 17 and 8. He had an assist. He had a steal. 7 of 13 shooting. Fantastic numbers for Tari. And he led the way with the bench unit in the first meetup against the Spurs. And in fact, that the Rockets, the bench unit in the first game is why the Rockets pretty much won that game. Tari had 20 off the bench. Usman had 11. Josh Christopher had 14. Josh has been a terror when he gets going downhill and scoring at a really high level in and around the basket, getting to his little bread and butter mid-range. It's great to see. Some of the individual performances over this two-game span were really nice to see to kind of understand, hey, like this team is really capable of some high-level play. Alperen Şengün with 15 and 14 in the Sunday night win. 15 points, 14 boards, had 3 assists, 3 steals, and a block on 6 of 9 shooting. Nice. Alpi had a great game. Like it was nice to see the Rockets just kind of lean into and remember that, hey, like they've got some talented players on this roster. And maybe these two games will serve as a bit of a tune-up and they'll be a little bit more confident moving forward. Cool. I still don't know if it's going to be worth it in the grand scheme of things when we get to the NBA draft lottery and if the Rockets fall all the way down to pick number 7 or pick number 8. We're going to be remembering these two Spurs games, and the vibes and the good feelings in the immediate aftermath of these wins are not going to matter nearly as much as the frustration and the disappointment when that pick inevitably falls lower than 5, depending on where the Rockets actually finish the season standings-wise. So with that, that's going to do it for today's episode. As always, thank you so much for checking out the show. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's Apple, Spotify, Google, Odyssey app, free and available on all podcast platforms. We're also available on YouTube. Just go to YouTube, search Locked On Rockets. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Share your thoughts on this back-to-back slate of wins by the Houston Rockets. Did you feel good about the wins? Did you feel a little bit upset about the tankathon standings? Let me know in the YouTube comments. But as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.